Well, Jason Gibbs, welcome back, and let's kick it off today. It's Memorial Day, and a lot of people are making plans to do some grilling and chilling out today, and you've got some interesting information about food inflation.
Absolutely. First off, special thanks and acknowledgement to all of our veterans. They are the reason we are gathered today. Memorial Day also serves as the kickoff to the summer barbecue season, and it is going to be a little more pricey this year when you're trying to get meat for the grill. The Federal Department of Agriculture estimates that food costs and all of the other things you need, the hard goods, beverages, have gone up roughly 6% over last year. So we've noticed that. I talked to some storekeepers in town. They've noticed a lot of people are opting for less expensive cuts of meat, possibly more vegetables, still stocking up, of course, on their fresh fruits, watermelon, tomatoes for the salads and burgers. But it is that time of year when people are getting out, dusting off the grill, getting into the backyard, and enjoying themselves. One of our local merchants referred to it as the chips and beer holiday.
And, you know, of course, as people prepare for the holiday, you know, as you mentioned, the less expensive cuts of meat. I mean, you know, how does this affect hot dogs and hamburgers?
It's less of an impact on hot dogs and hamburgers, more on your upper end cuts. I think a lot of people this year may be doing hot dogs and hamburgers instead of slapping a T-bone on the grill. But a lot of the reason that I'm hearing that the costs have gone up is, one, some of the odd weather that we had last year has hurt our supply, and two, there's a greater demand in developing countries for our exports, which is also increasing our food costs here at home.
Okay, and of course, as you mentioned today, holiday to honor our veterans, and so what a great way to honor your veterans and thank a veteran. And this week we've got the Hispano Chamber of Commerce that is offering a piece today, and what's that about?
Well, in my ongoing effort to get that column position filled by our local leaders, Eldelisa Nava, the membership director of the Las Cruces Hispanic Chamber, has stepped up to the podium and written us a column looking at what they've been doing. They've had a very busy few months at the Hispanic Chamber. At the finish of the school year, they honored 144 students from 12 area schools who were participating in the middle school recognition program, and they've completed the third year of their Junior Amigo Ambassador program and had 17 high school students participate in events through local organizations such as the March of Dimes, El Caldito, and some other very worthy causes that help our community. They also have just wrapped up their 22nd annual banquet, and that was followed by the 2014 Foreign Investment Trade Mission, which I was privileged to attend. We had roughly 160 guests from Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico discussing foreign trade opportunities, cross-border business, and how we can better collaborate to benefit everyone in the region.
And they are also kicking off a recruiting
campaign. That they are. The Avanzando Juntos. I think I butchered that, but it does mean moving forward together. It's been sort of their theme recently, and they are in the middle of a membership drive. There are lots of reasons to join. There's good networking. It's a great information resource, as I found in my 3 short weeks in the chair. And you can also get some nice benefits. I know they're working with some local businesses to offer incentive packages for those who do sign up. And if anyone would like to join the Hispano Chamber or to get more information, all they need to do is call them at 524-8900.
And, of course, you know, one of the perceptions that people have is, you know, do you have to be Hispanic to
Absolutely
join the chamber?
Absolutely not, yeah. I was discussing that with Eldelisa when I met her a couple of weeks ago, and there's a broad, broad range. Their membership is just as diverse as our community is, which I think speaks well for them and for all of our chambers that we are so inclusive.
Great. And, of course, in your profile, and I'm excited about this because I enjoy good coffee houses in Las Cruces, and, you know, coming from larger cities where coffee houses are pretty much in every other corner, there's a new coffee house here in town.
There is. You may have already tasted their brews, though. Bex, mm-hmm. If you've ever been downtown on the farmer's market, on the mall, or any of the events down there, those are the folks that used to bring that steaming hot, wonderful-smelling coffee out to the people
right.
on the street. Now they have a storefront. Tyrell Thacker and Ariana Parsons have purchased Beck's from Rebecca, the original Beck, Rosnick, and they are now going to open the storefront, or it is open, at 130 North Mesquite in the historic Mesquite District, fairly close to downtown, so they can still get down there when they've got extra to sell. They have purchased the business, and they are now working to develop some new blends. They've kept a lot of the old house blends, but I know when our reporter, Matlin Smith, spoke with them, one of the things they're working on is developing some new signature blends. And some of the ones that I'm anxious to try are Bee's Knees. They're going to also roast a Brekkie blend, and one called Full Moon Magic. And the other one that I think I'll have to drink early in the morning and not late at night is called Jacked Rabbit. So I'm thinking that may have a kick to it.
Now, they are located, as you mentioned, in the downtown in the Mesquite District, right next to Nueva Casita Cafe.
That's correct.
And you know what I like about that place is the building itself. It's made out of rocks and,
yeah,
you know.
It's a very, very quaint old building, and they're doing some wonderful work. When they originally purchased that building, it was close enough to their home, and they thought they could use it as a roasting facility only. And then a card table ended up being brought in and a couple of folding chairs. People started wanting to stay and drink the coffee there in the building. So they've done a wonderful remodeling. It's very rustic, fits the unique nature of that building as well. And it's a nice, cozy, homey little place to grab your cup.
And I understand they're going to be doing some events, some poetry readings and
yes,
things
they're
of that
bringing
nature.
In some, I believe, poetry readings, some music, various things to draw people back to downtown and the historic areas of Las Cruces. And entertain as well as keep us all wide awake.
Great. Now, yesterday on Sunday, you ran a piece on the Union Pacific, and you want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. This is going to be such a great economic engine driver for our area. The Union Pacific will, on this Wednesday, officially open their intermodal transportation center down there. They'll be able to take containers off of trains, load them directly onto trucks for shipping throughout New Mexico, throughout the Southwest, up into the Midwest. They'll also have a diesel refueling station, a crew change station, and there are already in operation a hotel and a 24-hour diner to take care of the Union Pacific employees that work down there. The facility itself is finished, up and running, and a year ahead of schedule. They had not anticipated being this complete and able to open for business until 2015. And this comes to us at a cost of about $400 million. It's created already about 3,000 construction jobs. I've heard, speaking with some of the leaders in the county, that several manufacturing businesses, distribution centers, logistics operation centers are looking to locate in that part of the county. Just because we have such great access to, you know, with the rail, we can hit the ports in California. We've got wonderful access coming across the border from Mexico for parts coming in, goods coming in, and it's just a very logical place for a distribution center.
And, of course, anytime you can have a project completed ahead of time, it's, you
that's
know, big,
always
it's big
good
news.
Always good news. And this is just an awesome project. I believe the entire footprint spans some 2,200 acres and is roughly 12 miles long. So it's quite a sight. I know people have seen traffic down there, and if you've gone down the PV Domenici Highway, you've seen some of the construction going on. It's just going to make it booming down there. It's really going to bring in a lot more businesses and a lot more well-paying jobs for our South County residents as well as all county residents.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason Gibbs, interim business editor at the Las Cruces Sun News, thank you very much for coming in, and looking forward to talking to you next week.
My pleasure, Edmundo. I'll see you then.
All right. For KRWG News, I'm Edmundo Resendez.